Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all this morning. Welcome if you're joining us on Zoom. I pray that as we have our time of worship this morning, that we will get something new and afresh. I was just thinking this morning as I walked through, you know, very often when I come into the building, I invite God into this space. But I'm reminded, of course, that God is already here. And it's him that invites us into this space. And this morning, you are here because God has invited you. And this morning, he has something for each and every one of us. And God delights in us. And we can think about the very words that are on the screen there. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. What an awesome God we have. Let's just open in a word of prayer and then we will sing our opening song together. Loving God, creator of the universe, we marvel at the works of your hand, the balance and order that you sustain over all you have made. This morning we gather together and indeed have been gathered by you to share in this act of worship. As we delight in you today, we know that you also delight in us. Be with us and refresh us. Surround us with your life-changing presence. And let us learn something new of you this very day. Thank you for loving us and drawing us into your family. Fill our hearts with your love. Fill our words and conversations with truth and grace. We ask all of these things in praise and adoration of you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing our opening hymn this morning. I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. Please be seated. Now let me ask you this morning, how good is your concentration? Are you good at concentrating, or are you one of these type of people that get stuck into something and then your mind begins to wander? And that's a bit like I was at school. I thought, no problem, I can do this. But my mind would soon be wandering away from the topic in hand. And my least favourite topic at school was maths. I am okay counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can do that. I know my numbers between 0 and 9. But why on earth in maths would you start to introduce letters? It's as though the mathematicians think, oh, let's bring English into this. X plus Y equals Z. At that point, I was completely lost. Now, this morning, what I want to do, I want to do an experiment with you all. And I want to see what your concentration is like and see if you can count. How many reckon they are good at counting? Okay, so what we're going to do, I'm going to show you a little video, and what I want you to do is very simply to concentrate, okay? And I want you to see how many times the players in white pass the ball, okay? So you're going to count. So every time a white person in a white t-shirt passes the ball, I want you to count, all right? I want you to see by the end of the video how many you get to. Are you ready? Okay, so every time a white person passes the ball, really concentrate, add a number, all right? Are you ready? So here we go. Let's count how many times. Are you ready? Only those that are in white. Right, so how many did you get? Very good. 16. 16? Okay, that's the right answer. Very good. Good counting. Now, I'm just wondering if you noticed anything else while you were counting. So I told you I had to concentrate. Okay, how many of you noticed the gorilla? And everyone's going, what gorilla? Anyone notice the gorilla? Put your hands up in the air if you saw the gorilla. Well, that's not bad. 50% normally see the gorilla. And that is less than 50%. Nobody saw a gorilla? You saw the gorilla. Okay. How many of you saw something else? There were two other things that happened while you were counting that maybe you missed. Daniel, did you see something else? Absolutely. The curtain changed from red to gold. Very good. Very observant. Did you get 16? Excellent. Okay. One other thing happened. Did anybody spot the third thing that happened? Well, one of the players in black left the field of play. Should we watch it again? Because you guys don't believe me. Some of you are sitting there going, gorilla? What gorilla? Okay, so I'm going to play it again, okay? So let's go back a slide. All right, so I'm going to play it again. Honestly, I've just gone back a slide, so this is not a different slide. Okay, so let's play it again. Okay, so count. You're supposed to be counting, so here we go. Exactly the same, players in white. Now you watch and wait. So you're all counting away quite nicely. Really concentrating at this point. Here
Here comes the gorilla.
There goes the gorilla.
Notice, red to orange, and there's only two people wearing black.
How many missed the gorilla? Plain for all to see. It's really easy to miss things, isn't it? Especially when you're really focused. And even more easy to miss things if you're focusing maybe on the wrong things. A few weeks back, I showed you a picture of this, a buttercup, a picture that I took when I was on my retreat day. A thing of immense beauty, but I could so easily have passed it by. Or even worse, I could have trodden it underfoot as I was walking and completely destroyed that thing there of magnificent beauty. The Bible tells us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because there are so many distractions that can move our focus away from the things that really matter. We can be so caught up, can't we, in the things that are going on around us, that we can miss seeing Jesus and sometimes ignore him completely. And having Jesus central in our lives, of course, is so important. It makes us complete. He's always there, whether we see him or not. And he's here with us this very moment. So let's say this verse together. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. So I pray that as you go through your summer, if you're going away, have a great time. But look at the things that are going on around you. It's very easy to miss very small buttercups. But we just need to take time to stop and to think and to look at the wonderful world that actually God has created. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as we move forward. It's really important. Bless you. Music group are going to come. We're going to sing another couple of songs now. And we're going to start with this one. Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. So please feel free to stand. Let's sing together.
Let's hope we sing better.
Yeah. Let's hope so. Let's hope I play better.
Let's stand together and sing.
Praise is rising. Turn to you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. see you, we find the strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away.
Go to their group. Dawn's just going to pray, and then you guys can go.
Lord, we thank you for the children and young people within our church family. As the leaders and helpers spend time with them now in Sunday social, may it be a time of fun, fellowship, and finding out more about you. Help us as a church to remember we are here to help people of all ages to find and follow Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, youngsters, you can go upstairs. And this morning, the young people are going to be doing some cooking and producing some cakes for us to have later. And all donations for those are going to be going to Marlow House. So when you finish this morning, I hope you're going to fill yourselves with cake. We're going to sing another song now before we move on. This is a fairly new song, one we've been learning, and it's a song that's really been blessing me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Let's sing it together.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my eternal malice. To this I hold, my hope is only I need.
Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this passage of scripture from Ephesians. And today is again no exception. And I trust by now that you are becoming fairly familiar with these words. And I'm hoping that much of it is committed to memory. Because this passage of scripture is a great one to remind ourselves of every day. And so I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, picking up from verse 10 and going through to verse 18. And it says this: a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you are able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Before I just share a few thoughts, Sheila is going to come and she is going to pray with us. Thank you, Sheila.
Good morning, everyone. We all know what our motto is for the Baptist Church. I'd like you to say it to me, please. Follow Jesus. That is very true. So let us come to the Lord in prayer and think about that while we're praying. First of all, this morning, we pray for our little children. May they seek your guidance, Lord, through their Sunday social and their tutors, and let us bring them all into the fold here in Desborough Baptist Church. Let us think of the surrounding family of our children. Think of our family and our friends and those of us within your church here in Desborough. We thank you for blessing us with our pastor, Nick, and his wife, Dawn, and family. May we all grow in your strength, Lord, having the guidance of Nick behind us. We pray for peace in our world, Lord, and an end to all conflicts, war, and tragedy in our world today. Bring us closer together, Lord, to seek your teachings. Give us strength, courage, faith, and hope to serve you as we should. And now we think of the people that are not with us today. We pray for people we know who are sick, in hospital or awaiting treatment, or people that have passed on to be with you. We pray for the doctors and nurses in our hospitals in these exceptional circumstances that we're facing today. And we take a few moments to think of people within our family and our friends that are sick, that need our special prayers today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great love as you came down from heaven to save us from the bondages of sin and death. We confess and proclaim you are our Lord and our Saviour. Thank you for all the blessings in our life. Lord Jesus, wash us with your precious blood, cleanse us with your living word, and strengthen us by your Spirit. May this bring us more closer to you and give us the grace to walk in your light and help us to prepare for your second coming. And together we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And the most wonderful saying to end our prayers comes from John chapter 3, verse 16. I'm sure we all know it. If you do know it, then join me. God so loved the world this way, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. Amen.
Many of you will be aware that this has been, for our fellowship here, a weekend of prayer. And yesterday, we had a really blessed time, I think, of prayer here in the church on our prayer day. And for those that couldn't make it, I've just got a flavour of some of the things that went on yesterday in the building. It was a time to be able to come and personally reflect, sit and pray for as long as you wanted to pray. And we were here in the building, or if you didn't fancy being stuck inside, Chris did two fantastic prayer walks yesterday, up across the plains in the morning to look at God's wonderful creation. And in the afternoon, she took a group out to wander the streets to pray. Good time, Chris. A great time. But if you were here in the building, you would have seen some stations. And the leadership team were tasked with a single word, then to come up with a way of being able to represent that through prayer. And we had a healing station yesterday, so you could come and you could sit and you could pray for those that weren't well. There was a time of worship out the back, so if you really wanted to sit and listen to music, you could have done that too. That was a great time, and I must admit, I spent quite a bit of time out there yesterday just worshipping with some of the wonderful songs that we have at our disposal to listen to. There was a forgiveness station, which had some activities to do as you prayed. If doodling is your thing and you want something to do while you're praying, then you could doodle away. There was a Thanksgiving table. We've got lots of things to be thankful to God for. And there was an opportunity to sit and give thanks to God as you reflected on what God has done for you. Time of contemplation, so if you really wanted to be really quiet, there was a time just to sit and to contemplate and to think about the wonder of God. We had a need station. Take what you need. Love and all sorts of wonderful things there. Faith, with lots of verses to pick out and pray over. Intercession was a big part of yesterday. And lots of things to do on that table. Lots of things to pray for. From our town to all sorts of different things and activities to do there. So it was a great day to be able to come together and pray, and I trust all of you that came got something out of that day. And I would like to just express my thanks to everybody that was involved, from the wonderful bacon butties that we started with to all the things that we did yesterday. It was a really good day of being able to come together and spend some time in prayer. And this morning, no surprise, I'm going to conclude our sort of mini-series looking at the armour of God. And as we've been looking at spiritual warfare, I'm going to conclude with talking about prayer. So how do we prepare for the battle ahead that is undoubtedly coming? Truth, righteousness, peace, faith and salvation. The first five things that we talked about that we need to clothe ourselves in. Last week, those of you that are here will remember that Philip showed us how we can protect ourselves with God's word, just like Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Now note, please, that God's word is likened to the sword of the Spirit. And this week, we're looking at prayer in the Spirit. Notice the link, sword of the Spirit, prayer in the Spirit. God's word and prayer being linked together and having a spiritual dimension. And the Holy Spirit puts these two things into our hands as weapons that we can use to protect ourselves and use as we face the inevitable daily battles of life. Note, they go hand in hand. They are complementary. Both are crucial if we want to be effective in our fight with the spiritual forces that want to do us harm. And it's the Holy Spirit that is the agent here. We have this helper to intervene on our behalf and provide counsel and guidance. Both God's word and prayer is a two-way thing. We speak to God and he speaks to us. Now we see that in most modern translations of the Bible, verse 18 that we're concentrating on this morning begins as a brand new sentence: pray in the Spirit. However, those of you that know your Greek will know it has no punctuation. And it renders this particular portion of Scripture as a continuation of what has gone before, using the word praying instead. So we put on this armour, praying in the Spirit. So this implies that each piece of armour, as previously described, should be put on with prayer. Prayer then interwoven between all our spiritual preparations for battle. So then, as we recognise that prayer is something that in reality we never do on our own, even in our individual quiet times, I'm reminded how Paul describes the help we get in Romans chapter 8. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Prayer is deceptively simple. It's chatting with God. But it's something we can find so hard to do at times. And these verses in Romans remind us that we have someone who intercedes on our behalf, even when we have no words of our own. So, having been told to pray in the Spirit, our key verse then gets into specifics. Let me remind us of verse 18, which says this: and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, eagle-eyed readers will have noted that the word all, or its equivalent, is used no less than four times in this single verse. Firstly, We are to pray on all occasions. The Amplified Translation expands on this by saying to pray on all occasions and in every season. In other words, our prayers should be regular and they should be constant. No matter what season we are in our very lives, good or bad, happy or sad, young or old, wherever we find ourselves, we can always pray. For each of us, prayer should become as natural as breathing. Stop breathing and you physically die. Stop praying and you will spiritually wither away. Stop breathing and you will physically die. Stop praying and you will spiritually wither away. So we must make prayer part of our daily routine, if we haven't already. It's easy to fill every waking moment with something. Why not make prayer one of those somethings? The book of James tells us that the earnest prayers of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Don't ever let anybody tell you that prayer doesn't work. All our prayers are heard and God responds in his way and in his timing. Which of course isn't always something what I would hope for. I want the answer now. And God, if you could do it like this, that would be great. But of course, God doesn't work like that. I've got to trust that he actually knows what's best, even though I don't always get the answers I would have hoped for, or indeed even prayed for. There have been times in my life when I have prayed so hard for a certain outcome to a situation, for the end result to seemingly be the exact opposite of that which I had been praying. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And even though I know these words are true, they are sometimes pretty hard to swallow. But that shouldn't stop you or I praying for the next thing that comes along. The second all in our verse is all kinds of prayers and requests. Our prayers, of course, take very many and varied forms. Some examples include prayers of praise and thanksgiving, as we recognize who God is and what he has done for us. And I must confess that I don't spend half enough time praying these types of prayer. As Christians, you know, in this country, we have so much to be thankful for. Shelter, food, family and friends. Simply being able to turn on a tap and having water flow that I can safely drink. Being able to open my Bible and read it in public. Coming together openly here to worship God in this place without fear of imprisonment or worse. The love of the cross and all that was accomplished there. All these things to thank God for, and I guess you can add thousands more. Besides him just being ridiculously awesome. And of course there are those petitionary prayers where we can ask God for stuff. Give us this day our daily bread, we are reminded. What do you want God to do for you? Pray and tell him. Remember, that's what Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus. The response wasn't, come on, Lord. You know what I need. Isn't it obvious? I shouldn't have to tell you. And the truth, of course, is he does know what we need. But he wants us to ask anyway. I want to see, was the reply. And then the miracle happened. He saw Jesus. I hope this morning that you want to see Jesus too. I wonder if you ever said to yourself, there's no point praying for that, as it would take a miracle for that to happen. So there's simply no point. Well, let me remind you that God is, in fact, a God of miracles. And sometimes, you know, we can forget that. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're thinking along those lines, then the enemy has already won. Did God really say not to eat the fruit from any tree in the garden? Satan setting up the deception, engaging in dialogue. No, you won't die. You'll just be as wise as God. And we know the sad result. The desire was just too great. Satan fed the lie, and the result was death. Spiritual separation from God and physical death and decay. And that's why we put on all the armour. And why this series has been a timely reminder for us all as we continue forward into the new things God has for us. And of course we also engage in intercession. Intercessory type prayer for others around us and the things that are happening in our world. And I'll come back to that in a few minutes. Thirdly, next in our verse, comes a warning to be alert and always keep on praying. The third occurrence of all. Here then, perseverance is the key. And it can sometimes take a while before we see the results of our prayers, if we ever do. I think I've told this story before, but whenever I think about giving up praying for a particular cause, I'm reminded of a lady in my first church who had four sons, all of whom drifted away from the Lord. She had to pray for many, many years before she saw all of them back in church. And she faithfully prayed for them every single day. Two of the sons, I think, are now still pastors in churches. So we should never give up. And the Bible, of course, is full of encouraging verses to that effect, teaching us to keep going. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, never stop praying. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Rejoice in the confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying, says Romans. And of course, Jesus himself, in the famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:7, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. And of course, Jesus emphasizes this point later by telling the parable of the widow who kept asking the unjust judge to give her justice in her dispute with her enemy. And the judge, of course, was driven crazy by the woman's persistence, so much so that he eventually granted her request. And of course, Jesus went on to say that we should learn a lesson from that judge. And here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18. Even the judge rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night. And of course, this verse also has a warning, and we shouldn't miss it. And the warning is to be alert, to stay awake, be on your guard. An attack could happen at any moment, and usually does, when we least expect it. Remember Jesus telling the disciples to stay awake and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, only to find them fast asleep when he returned. Not once, not twice, but in fact three times. His very words, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Just like God's word, prayer is crucial for our spiritual well-being. And of course, the only way of getting to know someone better is to spend quality time with them. And we get to know Jesus better by spending time meditating on his word and communing with him in prayer. So the battle cry then is to put on our armour, stay alert and be ready to fight. Let's not be sleepwalking Christians, but rather those that are eager, willing and ready for all the spiritual battles that will come our way, knowing that we can be victorious in and through Christ Jesus. Not content either to just be standing at the end, we should want and expect to be winners. When my time on earth draws to a close, I want to be able to confidently declare the words that Paul wrote to Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And I trust that for each of us, that would be our prayer too. The final all comes at the very end of the verse, praying for all the Lord's people. Here, we're encouraged to pray for one another. And of course, this doesn't just mean here, us here, of course, but also for people right around the world. Some we may know, like our mission partners, Whit and Helen, and many others who we now have never met, might not even know their names. To cover each of us in prayer, interceding before God on behalf of our brothers and sisters, for we're all in this battle together. And it's vital for our physical and spiritual health, a reminder that we don't fight alone. With Christ as our head, we, the body, are able to sustain each other through our praying individually and also when we come together. And I, for one, am so thankful to you all who continually uphold me and my family in prayer. And I'm sure you can all say the same also. John Stott, in his commentary on Ephesians, remarks that most Christians pray sometimes, with some prayers and some degree of perseverance for some of God's people. But to replace some by all in each of these expressions would be to introduce us to a new dimension in prayer. Certainly not an easy task, but one we should all strive towards. And as we look back over the last few weeks, let us continue to reflect on how we prepare for spiritual warfare, ensuring we have our armour on at all times. We can strive to become prayer warriors. And what a difference that would make to our ministries and work that goes on here in this very community. One of the things that we're going to be doing to help us move forward, and very much linked with this past preaching series, is our autumn book study this year. Starting on the 22nd of September, we're going to be walking through this book. It's Pete Grieg's book, How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. Isn't that encouraging?
And of course, those of you that know anything about Pete will know he's the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement. And he's going to use the Lord's Prayer as his starting point to help us grow and go a bit deeper in our relationship with God. In Pete's words, it's going to be a wild and wonderful journey of discovery. There's going to be a sign-up sheet, of course, in the meeting room in the near future, as usual, for you to sign up if you would like a copy of the book as we begin to share this together on Sundays and in our groups during the week. And I know that as we all explore together the vast and exciting subject, actually, that is prayer, that God will continue to bless our times together here on Sundays and throughout the week. So I commend this course to you. It's a fantastic book. For those of you that are prayer warriors, there's also so much in here that you can take away to learn. And I think Chris and Andrew, who have been to this twice now, will agree that it is a really good read. And a children's version as well. So we may well be using that with our youngsters as well, which could be really, really useful. So we're going to engage, hopefully, in this in September to help us deepen our relationship with Jesus. We're going to finish this morning by singing a song that I don't think we've sung here in a very long time. And I picked it for these words in particular. Fear not, he is with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for he is thy God and will still give thee aid. He'll strengthen and help thee and cause thee to stand, upheld by his righteous, omnipotent hand. So let's stand and we'll sing our final hymn together. Thank you, Brian.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've spent together learning more about you and worshipping your name. As we leave this place today, may we be committed to worshipping and serving you in our daily lives. Lord, show us ways that we can bless others each day. Help us to see you in the monotony of the mundane. Help us to see your blessings around us in the simple, small things that bring us joy each day. As we leave this place, please fill us with peace. Help us to go forth with joy that can only come from you. Now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain and rest with you all this day and always. Amen. Cakes. Don't forget to eat cake. And all donations are going towards Marlow House. Excellent. So get there quick before they all go.